And they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their witness. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I suppose you, like me, are a little disheveled today, thinking about the hurricane in Florida and the terrible devastation. I found out just an hour ago that my family's fine, so we're very thankful for that. But many pastors have been deluged, their homes destroyed, many congregations will suffer huge damage, and it'll be tremendous work. I remember Katrina some long time ago, and I was talking to the district president at the time, Curtis Schultz, right after the storm occurred. I said, "What do you need most?" He said, "We need chainsaws, all the chainsaws you can bring." And so I found a private jet owned by a nice El Cimas guy, and we loaded it up with chainsaws, flew down to Baton Rouge, started doing an assessment. It was one of the craziest few days of my life. And I had been looking at those people in the South who had suffered Katrina as victims. I remember I was asked to preach at Trinity Baton Rouge, still looking at people as victims needing help from the outside. And at the end of the service, Pastor Schmieding asked if there were volunteers to do a number of things that needed to be done immediately. And the whole congregation, it was like the whole congregation stepped forth en masse. And here they were, the victims of this, and yet all of them said, "We're not hit that bad. I know neighbors in much worse situations." Why do things like that happen? Luther has a profound exposition of Jacob wrestling with the angel at Peniel, the Malach Yahweh, the angel of the Lord, who he believes is the pre-incarnate Christ. And this was no play, no game, says Luther. This was a fight to the match. I mean, Jacob was absolutely sure that this angel was going to kill him. And Jacob held to the promise, held on to the angel of the Lord, "I will not go unless you bless me." It's the struggle of life. It's the struggle of knowing deep temptations and struggles come upon us. And is it the devil that is afflicting us? Is it the Lord himself who is bringing these upon us? How do we understand it? And the answer is probably yes, both. The Lord uses also the evil angels for his purposes and his good angels. You here are studying for a profound profession, deaconesses too. You are studying for the office of the ministry. And this will be your hurricane in life. This will be your greatest challenge. We had an orientation for the new district presidents a couple weeks ago, and I just laid out the requirements for the office of Episcopos, which apply most directly to the office you are going to assume. The saying is trustworthy: if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Praise the Lord. Therefore, an overseer, an episcopos, must be able, above reproach, not being able to be caught out. Is there something in your life that if we knew about it or the seminary knew about it, would catch you out? The husband of one wife. But how many women live in your head? Sober-minded? Do you find yourself angry, jealous, fearful? What do you love? Are you self-controlled? Are you? Or do you sin over and again? Are you respectable? On the outside, yes. Are you hospitable? A lover of strangers? that will strike you as a pastor repeatedly. Are you able to teach, or are your studies kind of a pain on the way to your real goal, to shape a ministry in your own image? Or are you here to truly become apt to teach the Word of God? Not a drunkard that's over fond of wine. It's a temptation for many. And as you face anxiety in the parish or anxiety here, constant concern about somebody calling you, about the next problem that will arise, about that one member in the congregation that is an absolute pain, causes you anxiety every day, and you'll be so myopic that you'll be worried about the one and forget the 150 who love you. He must manage his household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. I don't even need to say anything. If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Think of your interaction with your wife and your children. Is it something you'd want the church to know about? Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, etc. My friends, that is a sobering list of the law, isn't it? It really is. And frankly, it's impossible. The law always accuses. The accuser has been cast down, according to our text. Cast down, thrown out. Luther says that this casting down happens by the blood of the Lamb and by the proclamation of the Word. And so therefore, the casting out happened with Christ's death and resurrection. That's what Revelation is talking about. And the continual casting down of the devil happens by the proclamation of the Word. And that is the task to which you aspire. And it's a great task, and it means you're stepping into the whirlwind with a devil in front of you. But he has been cast down. The accuser is cast down. I tell you, there is an episkopos, the bishop of our souls, who is above reproach for you. He has never had an unchaste thought for you. He's always sober-minded, assessing the situation for you. He is self-controlled, never loses it for you. He's respectable both on the outside and the inside for you. He's hospitable. He welcomes the sick, the lame, the leper, the moonstruck, everybody else. He welcomes them every time, every day, has mercy upon them, and he does it for you. He is apt to teach, and he leaves his teaching for you in the Gospels that you may follow right behind him and use his words in your teaching. He is not a drunkard. He finds the line between drunkenness and abstinence and lives a full and wonderful life for you. He's not violent, but he's meek and he's gentle for you and to you. He says, come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's not quarrelsome. In fact, he's silent before Pilate as he tries him, puts him to death. He's not a lover of money. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He does it for you. He manages his household well. They thought he was crazy. He winds up loving his mother and giving the right words to them, his brothers and sisters or cousins, exactly what they needed at the time. He wasn't a recent convert. He had 30 years prep for this moment. If the Christ needs 30 years prep for his moment of ministry, you better take a few years seriously. But he does it for you. And he's well thought of by outsiders. That is, so far as the Word of God can be well thought of and respectable. Yet he draws a theological line. Don't be downcast. The devil's been cast out. On this, Michaelmas, I bring you good news. Cast down by the blood of the Lamb is the great dragon, the ancient snake, the same snake who would deceive you with forbidden fruit, sex, lies, pride, envy, anger, and especially anxiety and fear. The deceiver of the whole world is cast down by the blood of the Lamb. He is the accuser of the world who still accuses you, but he has been cast away from the presence of God, and his accusations have no say in the face of God because of Christ Jesus. Your sins have been died to death, paid for, and you are raised with Christ, cast down to the earth, and all his angels cast down. With the devils all the world will fear, fill, all eager to devour us. We tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. And it is God's own mighty voice from heaven. Now, egeneto, now is the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority, exousia. Matthew 10, the authority is given to his apostles. Matthew 28, the authority is given to his apostles and the church. Christ's own authority with his own word. The kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. Christ is Michael, says Luther. And an even higher authority, Brighton. This is not our war, but this is Michael's war and conflict, Luther says. You are battlers in his conflict. Let thy holy angels be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Most of Luther's Michaelmas sermons, probably 12 to 1, use Matthew 18 as the text. The little child in the midst when they're arguing who's the greatest. And then at the end, their angel beholds the face of their Father in heaven. Luther was convinced that we all have a guardian angel. Every man has a good angel, Weimar 37, 3, 152. And just as God uses parents to govern the household, rulers to tend the government, pastors to tend the church, he uses angels to assist in all three. Without his angels, the home would be nothing but anger and punishment and hatred, he says. And the devil wouldn't leave a drop of beer in the cellar. Without his angels, the state would be nothing but hangman, sword, judge, and prison. Without the angels in the church, it would be not be able to, grace would not be preached, and there'd be nothing but sin and death. The word cast out the devil and continues through the preaching of the word. The Lord loves the office you hold and will hold, and he will preserve you, and his angels will preserve this world. When he draws back his protection, it appears as though he does not love, does not care. It's nothing less than what he did with Christ himself. It appeared the worst. It was the most blessed activity in the history of the universe, and it appeared to be the worst. So right now, we mourn the loss in Florida, but we know there are thousands upon thousands of Christian, decent citizens, etc., aided by his holy angels, who are loving their neighbors right now, and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, loving them in the name of Jesus. May his holy angels be with you. Amen.